Hello there, Gia.
Hello, Keisha and everybody. It's very good to be back.
We missed you, I gotta say. Welcome back to you, Gia. I apologize. You had the tough task of taking care of your dad.
And he did pass away, and it was rough. Everybody, it's such a human thing. Saying goodbye to the loved ones, my brothers were with me, and we by the end of it, we were laughing and telling stories, and being quite gross and just the usual family gathering.
Dynamic,
But the ironic thing is, while we were there, we were packing his place up and everything. We kind of did it all. We were like, well, we're all here. But I just kept thinking oh God, Dad would love this. Dad would love it. He was the kind of guy that loved to have a project, and we were all together and we were packing and we were moving stuff and planning. Wouldn't he have just enjoyed this so much?
That is the sad part, isn't it? Well, one of the sad parts. Yeah. I was thinking that I'm very glad that I did get to sort of meet both of your parents and get to know them a bit.
You did, knew them, kind of more at their peak. And so, the older people, they're different people. Like, we're always different people in our lives. And so, older dad, he was a funny dude. He had some quirky shit going on. Mm-hmm. But I think you saw him kind of when he was at the peak of his faculties still. And so I'm glad about that, too.
And I think, if we had grown up with each other, through elementary school or high school or whatever, we would have known each other's parents, but we met each other in graduate school, and you don't always get to meet your friend's parents.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
So that was nice. They were both lovely people. They would say they're very different. Your mom was quite different from your dad, but both.
They balanced each other out. Yeah. It was a good combo. I enjoyed your parents as well.
They were also good people, so we were very lucky, weren't we, Gia?
And that was the other thing, is just my dad didn't have, he was 90, almost 91, and he didn't have cancer, and he didn't have Parkinson's, and he didn't have Alzheimer's, so much to be grateful to have. Some people's parents die in their 50s or whatever, and I like, wow, gosh, I got so much extra time that So it's like a battle, but we all kind of got through it. And
That is a good way to put it, I think.
So we're glad to be back and glad to be talking about fake drama.
I was going to say also, that's where our soap operas and our stories, they're so helpful because they sort of give us a break,
Right. A break,
day to day.
They touch on all these emotions, they touch in weird, heightened ways, I could have kept up in the couple of weeks that I was gone, I could have Hulu'd, but I just couldn't do it. Also, I was very busy watching a lot of Blue Bloods.
sure, that would be a little bit of a shift, I guess.
Because whenever my dad's around, that's the TV is just on Blue Bloods if possible.
Yeah.
So, and I kept trying to distract him with things, so I was, but anyway, so I had a choice when I got back, because I thought, oh my gosh, I've missed so much GH.
Yeah.
And so I could have done a marathon, but I was just I'm going to dive in.
Okay.
And so I dove in on Monday, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So you're pretty much caught up for this week.
Yes, I'm totally caught up for this week. And I had the odd sensation that I hadn't missed that much.
Yeah, I suppose that's what they do, right? With the backfilling of information and repeating stuff.
Yeah, I just felt like this Jason storyline hadn't moved along all that much.
Yeah, I guess that's true, too. Yeah, there's a little bit of sort of nuance that you might miss, moments of people sort of showing their true selves. But we can cover that if it comes up.
Yeah, I'll have some questions. There was some major breakups while I was out. Dex and Joss and Carly and Drew. And
Drew, yeah, that one. Can we start with that one?
Just yeah, I was sorry to miss that.
I've been hoping for
that for a while.
I know, and it happened so quickly. Like pretty much as soon as Jason came to town, Drew, he was petulant because
excellent word.
Thank you. Jason had, you know, made a beeline for Carly's, and Drew was like, you know, why didn't you call me? It's like, are you kidding? You know,
I think the last episode I saw was he had appeared in Carly's living room.
Yeah,
and that then was, Anna that was, and Jaguar came to the door, right, and he was right. hiding. But he apparently hightailed it out of there or something.
Yes, he did. He sort of snuck away. And so Carly, yeah, she really didn't have much time with him. Didn't have a chance to really get into any deep discussions, you know. And obviously she was sort of overwhelmed, you know. And you know. And Drew, he was just like classic Drew douche, you know. He's like... he's like, yeah, he'll always come first, you know, and no matter, you know, what he does, he doesn't, you know. And he's like, she said something like, he never let me down, you know, he was always there for me. And he's like, what about the last 2 years, you know? He could have been sitting in a hammock drinking Mai Tais for all you know. And she's like, well, I hope that was all he was doing, you know, which was a great line, you know, because I thought she could have thought, you know, how come you didn't find a way to get in touch with me or whatever, you know, but I like that she was hoping that he was suffering.
Dead under a pile of rubble.
Right. And she said, but I'm afraid, you know, the last 2 years were a lot worse than that, you know, so it was a good comeback. And even though she wasn't quite ready, I don't think, for what Drew was saying, obviously it's for the best. Especially
obviously it was quite over. Yeah, it was awkward because I hadn't run across that information yet, and then I saw them in the courtroom scene today, and I was like, why is he coming in with Olivia and what's going on there? That was weird.
I know, that was a little weird that he was like palling up with Olivia.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
You know, because he's been a real asshole to Ned, right?
So. Yeah, total kind asshole. And
strange, but he doesn't really have any friends, so.
He's going to be the town pariah, probably.
Probably, but.
Okay, what's another? Okay, so why did Joss and Dex break up just over him? Was he, and has he turned on Sonny? Because he was going into Anna saying he was willing to testify, and I was like, huh?
I have to say, like, if I was going to sum up, like, my overall feeling of the last however many episodes that we haven't discussed, it's that everybody's been disappointing and a little bit confusing. And a little bit out of character. That
could be the shift to the new writers. They could be kind of...
Yeah. To be honest, I felt like it's been very clunky. Like, it's like they... Like, you know, let's say somebody writes the first page of a story and then you're asked to write the second page without, like, full knowledge of what the first page says. You know, it's kind of like that.
My mom used to do a thing like that with a drawing with us kids. Like, you'd be drawing a person, a body, you know, and then you'd fold the paper over. And so you just got, like, the neck, and you had to draw, torso or whatever. And then we'd unfold it and see what came of it.
Mm-hmm. So it's a little disconnected and stuff. Yeah. And that's how
my brothers usually drew like X-rated parts on it and stuff when it was there.
Wieners.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm sure your mom loved that. She's probably like, why every time? Why do I keep hoping for a different outcome?
I mean, I was also a girl, but I felt like she was overpowered by the maleness of the family. Oh, like everybody was gross and, you know.
Ditto. Yeah.
So same, huh?
Yes, yeah, so same.
So everybody's disappointing. Okay, but what was the crux of their breakup?
Well, yeah, this is like where they were a little bit out of character, a little bit inconsistent. So Nina came to Dex's apartment, and she was hoping somehow that he could fill her in on how Sonny was doing. She didn't realize that Dex had been, you know, kicked to the curb. And then, like, out of the blue, she said it was, like, so incongruous. She said,
your vocabulary tonight is elevated.
Thank sister. You,
Gia. Incongruous. Wow. I think I've only read that word. I don't even know if you're pronouncing it correctly.
I know. As I was saying it, I was like, can I land this?
You stuck the landing like Nadia Comaneci, you know? It was amazing. Okay, but carry on.
Thank you. So Nina said something about how she had seen Dex at the hospital that day with Cyrus, you know, and she just sort of let it hang there so that Joss didn't quite know what she was talking about, and Dex was sort of forced to tell her after Nina left that, you know, he was supposed to kill Cyrus, but he didn't, you know, and Joss acted like this was like just brand new information that he might be sent to kill people once in a while. Even though when she met him, wasn't he beating somebody up? I mean, it's
Or,
you know,
was he beating? Yeah, he and Sonny were beating somebody up. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So it just seemed so silly that, you know, suddenly she's all super judgmental and stunned and acting like, you know, she would never be with someone who would hurt anyone, you know. So she told him, you know, she couldn't be with him. She didn't feel like she knew him anymore. And she ran home to Carly and told her, you know, what had happened. And Carly's good.
Probably like, toughen up, Buttercup.
Like, yeah, basically, she's like, you're not looking at this like with all the information, you know. I mean, you don't know what Dex would have faced or whatever if he hadn't, you know, followed these orders. He, you know, stuff like that, you know. She tried to sort of school her a little bit, but Joss was like, you know, I can't be with somebody like that. So we'll see if that lasts. And then Dex also, he was like, because on the one hand he was acting like even though he didn't like everything Sonny did and was advising him against certain things, he definitely was loyal to him in a way and saw a lot of good in him. So, yeah, I don't know if it was Joss breaking up with him that made him think,
came out a little bit out of the blue when what he was saying to Anna today about willing to testify. I was like,
well, he had visited her, Anna, like, I guess shortly after Joss broke up with him. And because he thought he would come clean about the Cyrus thing. And maybe he was hoping that if he paid the consequences, Joss would, you know, think better of him, you know. But Anna, like, it was so classic Anna, you know, she's like, we have to pretend we never had this conversation, you know, if you testify, you'll be killed. And I don't want that, you know, so he left. And then he came back today, you know, with the same story, and it was like, you know,
she wants him to be a cop in the
I don't know how that would work. I mean, I guess at least it pulls Dex back into things a bit, you know.
I was glad my old man wasn't watching during that part, because he would have started, you know, being like, that is ridiculous, you can't just hire somebody, you know, like he would have gotten into the lack of realism, you know. But I was, I confess, in my head thinking, like, don't you have to actually go to some, like, police academy? Like, remember at the start of Charlie's Angels, we see them all, like, graduating from...
That's where we get our knowledge of about
You know, they show Chris operating the switchboard. Like, they obviously weren't meant for the straight-laced police world, but they're like private detectives.
Yes, you know? yes. Well, is Dex going to be maybe more of an informant or something? I'm not sure.
I sounded like she wanted to just hire him. Yeah, as a cop, it did. You know? Like,
who knows how that'll go? And I don't know if Dex. I don't know who he's in danger from necessarily at this point. Everybody, nobody.
You'd think everybody, even though they haven't really. I was worried about him before because you'd think other mobsters would grab him, you know, and try to torture him for information, inside information about Sonny's organization. But they don't. He just is walking around free as a bird. Nobody's bothering him.
Right. So it's confusing. And then I don't know, like, I feel like, isn't Jason sort of at risk if he's out walking around? I don't know.
Well, I'm confident Jason can take care of himself.
But Jagger has revealed himself to be a complete douchebag also.
Yeah. And I mean, is that really the motivation they're going to hang on this new dude?
That he has a grudge against Jason Quartermain
from high school. They've gone all the way through their lives, and he's
suddenly,
like, that seems a little silly. So
it does. Yeah. And there was
how I'm feeling about these new writers so far.
I know. Not super impressive. Did you see when Carly was talking to Jagger about this Jason Quartermain era or something? Was that when he was talking about it?
I think so. And she was like, didn't you love the same girl or something like that?
Oh, no. Yeah. I think I'm thinking of, there was a conversation he had with Anna when she went over to have drinks with him. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't see that. No.
This was after Jason had confided in Jagger? I can't remember now. But anyway, she went over to Jagger's, I think with some hidden agenda, you know, just to sort of act like she wanted to get closer to him. So they were having some wine or something, and he was talking about his history, and he asked her why she had this loyalty to Sonny, and she was trying to convince him that she didn't anymore. I guess it was after she talked to Dex. The first time. And she said, well, you know, because he took care of Robin and Stone, you know, when they weren't sure if either of them were going to live, and I was nowhere to be found, you know. So she was very convincing. And then he said something like, yeah, he was more of a brother to Stone than I was or something. And that's why I hate him. And it's like,
oh, well, that makes more sense, but
yeah. But at the same time, that's such a petty thing to say. 'Cause, like, you should hate yourself because you didn't step up as a brother.
Well, yeah, it doesn't make him sound like a good person, but it's a stronger motivation than we liked the same girl back in high school. And, you know,
that was him saying, he hated Sonny because Sonny was more of a brother. So then, then when he talked about, like, Jason and hating Jason Quartermain or whatever, having this grudge against him, it's like, so yeah, all of this is going back, like, what, 20-25 years?
Yeah. You know? It's kind of putting a little bit of the kibosh on my pants feelings for him. And so I don't like hearing all this.
I had a feeling.
I think if he simply had a haircut, I'd probably lose all pants friends. I think it's just his hair.
It's just his
hair. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of pants feelings, I've just got a few more questions, and then we can move forward.
Okay.
So I see that Sonny and Ava are still, you know, kind of doing the little sexual tension dance.
Yes. Yes, they are.
But it almost seems now like. And when I, the last episode I saw, on that storyline, Ava had kind of reined herself in and realized her friendship with Nina meant more to her, and she was going to work her darndest to get Nina and Sunny together again. And she seemed genuine in that moment.
Yeah.
So what's happened to that plan, and what's going on with she and Nina?
Yeah, that was never mentioned again.
Oh, that was the old writers.
Yeah, it was like that. Just they dropped that. You know, I don't know if she's even really seen much of Nina since then.
Oh, because I thought maybe something happened and she was just like, "Oh, screw you, Nina." Okay.
No. Well, this is another thing that was disappointing. And Ava, she's been sort of inconsistent also, because a few days ago, I think, or maybe it was this week. Maybe you saw this one. When she started to tell Sunny that she thought Jason wasn't someone he knew or could count on anymore.
Yeah, and said, look how quickly he and Carly got together. And I was like, wait a minute. You know, she's gone kind of back and forth on a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, like she's trying to manipulate Sunny.
Exactly. And then she sort of came around today a little bit and was acting like...
Yeah, I was like, what is going on? I was wondering if there was an agenda that I didn't know about, you know. I don't know. But so has she like declared Pants feelings for him, or?
Well, it seems like she believes that would be to her advantage, I think. If
do we think this is just a calculating move on her part, or do we believe in the romance?
I feel like it's maybe both, but definitely not just romance, I don't think. I don't know. Because it does feel like she's been manipulating him a bit, you know? And
yeah, I mean, she's kind of got him all alone there. And he's shut out everybody else, so she's the only one, you know?
Right, like, and she's telling him everything he wants to hear or needs to hear, you know? She's sort of got him in this position where... She can make herself like look really good.
Elvis and the Colonel, you know, or something.
Yeah. Yes. It's just like that.
Interesting. Well, I'm still liking their dynamic, you know, but I was confused by the different takes she had on people and whether Sunny could trust them or not, or you know, I just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. Right. And yeah, Sunny, like I guess this is deliberate, and it must be deliberate on the writer's part, that so many people that you would have thought would have believed in Jason don't seem like they do, you know, or they're willing to like believe that he might have done this, you know, shot Dante, you know?
Yeah. That's really shaking up the, like kind of core of the show, like Sam turning on Jason.
Exactly.
It's like, wow, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah. I thought she was pretty awful to him. And I don't know. I mean, I know he was gone for a while, but I feel like most of them would have sort of knowing Jason like they do, they would have believed there was a reason.
Right, that he hadn't just totally changed and decided to come back and shoot Sunny and Dante. I don't know. I was kind of enjoying her little moment there with him today. Just because I started thinking about all the absent fathers, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But she turned on him. Mm-hmm. Who else has turned? Well, Sunny, of course. But Sunny's always flip-flopping on people, but... But that was kind of like Carly was just incredulous.
So
like she just couldn't believe what she was hearing.
Enough that it seemed like it got his attention for a second. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. And then she had a good point. How many times has Jason saved him, you know?
Yeah. And I just want to go on record to say I'm totally on board with Sunny. I mean, with Carly and Jason.
Getting back to it.
Yep.
Me too.
They like to me that relationship was like the most important relationship for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ever. I just feel like that's the believable. I believe that she's over Sunny. I believe like as long as they were together, whatever, you know, but I still feel like what she had with Jason is something that's never gone away.
Yeah. And Sonny, I think as much as I think they sort of respect each other, there is always some work involved, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jason, right,
and she and, like, Jason, it's pretty unconditional. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They don't really even have to speak, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
they sometimes both just kind of tear up. Jason's gotten better at tearing up.
He has. And she's really so good at acting, you know, heartbroken and distraught and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think Jason's hair looks different, like the texture of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks fuzzy, but maybe he doesn't have the same products when he's locked up that he does.
I'm sure that's it. Yeah, I'm sure that's it. I don't know if he had access to all those products when he was a mercenary. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Right. I keep seeing little. I don't want to see them, but lines mm-hmm. about, you know, Brit still being alive.
I know. I was thinking. Yeah. Did you see the day when Anna and Jason were in? At the police station, and he was telling her everything.
Because she revealed that who Jaguar was.
Yeah, yeah, and that's right.
And then he suddenly like let her know everything.
Yeah,
So I did mm-hmm. see that. What about it?
Well, that was also where she told him that Britt had died.
Oh, right. And that I was a little bit like seriously, like you're totally out of like how could you? I don't know. I guess we don't know what information would have been kept from him or how, you know, I don't know. It just seems like in this day and age, you can find out everything about everybody.
Yeah. I guess he's not the kind of guy who's going to check somebody's Instagram, you know, or anything, you know, to see if they,
Facebook.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't strike me as a social media kind of guy.
But what do they call it on there? They have a different name for.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Book face.
Yeah,
they've got some name for it that was like an alternate universe,
right? Right.
But anyway, I guess that's all the questions I have at the moment. So, so you can guide us forward on further discussions of current plot lines or decor or whatever your little heart desires.
Okay. Well, I made a list, I think, of most of the characters.
Wow,
that
you really did. Okay.
In the last, like, at least couple of weeks. So we've talked about Sonny, Jason, Carly, Dex, Joss, Anna. I must say that I'm liking Anna more. I think when she's, like, hanging with Jason, you know, and talking to him and stuff, I feel like we're getting a little bit more, like, of interesting
the old,
Anna.
Old school, interesting Anna. Okay.
Yeah. Although I still don't know quite where she stands. I mean, I guess she is an officer of the law first and Sonny and Jason's friend second, but sometimes
at some point that there's going to be a conflict there.
There was some Brooklyn. There was some deception drama that wasn't very interesting, really.
Whoa, but, while I was gone. Okay, so I don't know about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was another area where Lucy was like sort of unrecognizable in a way. There was a photo shoot where Sasha didn't look, they used the word like edgy enough for this magazine, you know, cover. And the photographer or whatever was saying that basically, you know, that it wasn't working. And so they were going to call it off. And so Lucy and Sasha, Lucy decided that maybe they should get another model or something or spokesperson. I don't know. And the way she handled it was so sort of insensitive that everybody got upset. Cody quit and then Sasha quit and Maxie was just like completely livid at how Lucy had handled all of this. And I don't know what was going on with Lucy. I don't know why she would destroy basically the core of deception unless she has some angle that I'm not aware of yet. But anyway.
Well, I'm glad I missed all that then.
Yeah, it was stupid. Unless like maybe it will free Maxie up to do something else. I don't know. Deception was, you know, it was a big company for a while.
I love how you talk like it. It sounds so real. You know?
Well, I thought it was kind of a good name for a cosmetic company, you know. And I thought when you have a company called Deception and your model is Sasha, who does look very wholesome, you know, it's
right.
Maybe,
she really
maybe
does,
not a
yeah.
great fit, you know. But anyway. And Cody, oh, there was a scene with Cody at the stable and he had little James hanging out with him, and then Tracy came over and they had a lovely little scene with the three of them. Tracy continued.
I thought you had like creepy feelings about Cody and the children.
I do. I still think it's unnatural, but it made more sense because James was over there like helping Cody with the horses, and James takes riding lessons and stuff. It's not like, you know, having a sleepover with Cody at his house.
God. <You know. laughs> Yuck. But even just saying that, it's giving me a yuck feeling. But did we get to see Comet? I'm going to move the topic. Yes.
At least that's the name Cody mentioned. Is Comet the black horse?
No, he's white.
Yeah, so it wasn't the white horse. It was a dark colored horse. So
I hope Comet hasn't moved on to the pasture in the sky.
I hope so too. I think he just maybe he got a movie.
Got a better cake. He's in that movie with Spencer, probably.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. All right.
Another thing, and maybe you saw this too this week, I guess it was when Christina was talking to Molly, and Christina was another one who suddenly doubted Jason.
Yeah, totally, just based on Sunny's opinion of what,
she was trying to tell Molly how to like argue.
Yeah, she was being very annoying, very.
Yeah,
annoying.
Yeah, that was all tedious, you know.
It went on a really long time too. I was like, if I had been Molly, I would have been like, okay, got a job. You know, you need to leave. You shouldn't even be allowed in here right now. And
right. And who are you again? Are you the DA or no? You're just a Sonny's daughter telling me what to do. So yeah, that was rough. Oh, another thing, another person who was disappointing was Willow.
Willow, I gather, I was like, why is Willow being all nervous? So I gather Willow and Michael helped the injured Jason somewhere.
Jason, after he left Carly, he went to the bridge, you know, the old bridge. And then, of course, Anna thought that that's where he would go. So she and Jagger showed up there shortly after he did. And, Jason jumped off the bridge into the water, and then he showed up at the boathouse at the Quartermains, and he passed out, and his son Danny found him. So Danny was the first person to find him. Yeah. And he went and got Michael, and Michael got Willow to help, you know, help patch him up and stuff. And Willow, from the beginning, I would say Willow was very tight-lipped, you know, and sort of acting like, I don't know, like not the typical Willow, you know, like even though obviously she knows that they shouldn't be harboring a fugitive or whatever, but she's got to know how important Jason is to Michael and to Carly, like her whole like second family, you know, and it just seemed like she was sort of judgy and paranoid, and I don't know.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. You know, like she was starting to freak out. You know about like
she was being real weird in the hospital. Yeah. It took me a while to put that together, but
So
we did. We got to see a lot of the teenage boys this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it always takes me a minute. I'm like, okay, they're going to be featuring them, so I really need to get straight who's who,
right?
And and who the parents are for each one.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's a tough one. Yeah, the parent thing is tough.
Yeah.
And I don't know why Aiden has to be as tall as the others suddenly, you know, because he seemed like he was small the last time we saw him. Like
but that's
Franco
the same Aiden, isn't it?
Is it? Did he shoot up that much?
It's the same one it's been for a little while, I think.
Yeah, for a little while. I'm thinking back to like when Franco was alive and stuff.
I can't recall if it was the same boy as that.
He just seemed smaller than the other guys at that point,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah.
But anyway, they all seem like they're the same age now.
They're doing a pretty good job, though, of being teenage boys. Like, I'm kind of believing them. Mm-hmm. And they all have the, like, kind of annoying hairstyles, which teenage boys usually do.
Yes, they definitely have that, yeah. But Jake's another one that I don't know why he's so bent on believing Jason's bad, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But Jake's the one that was kidnapped by Helena, right?
Yeah, he's a little bit off.
He's got a lot of baggage, for sure.
He does, he sure does, yeah, yeah. So he kind of goes to the extremes, I guess, you know. He wants everything to be black and white, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Danny's a little more comfortable in the gray areas, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so that's who those boys are.
Those boys.
What else did we see? Let's see.
Let me go back to my list.
Oh, yeah, check your list.
Okay. Well, we had a little Elizabeth, you know, and she's a little bit on the fence, I think. You'd think she would believe in Jason, right?
Right, right. Yeah, maybe all these mothers are just suddenly like, you know, you really haven't lifted a finger to raise these boys.
I know. I forget they all have kids with them, you know, and they're not just former lovers, you know.
Yeah.
So
she doesn't quite believe yet.
Well, she wants to believe he's innocent, but she, you know, she also said, you know, if he is guilty, then he should, you know, he should be arrested. So, and I also think that, one of the things Sonny's basing his opinion on is that Jason was there on the roof with the, you know, and so obviously he was there to shoot him. He should know that if Jason was there to kill him, he would be dead.
He'd be dead, right.
You know? Yeah. And same with the shooting that
Sonny's
got Curtis.
Sonny's a boneheaded guy. I can believe that his thinking would be all wrong on this. But yeah, the other people should.
They should know that Jason wouldn't screw that up. And that maybe that is why Sonny's alive, because Jason was there, you know?
Speaking of Sam, which we were a while ago, I liked her in the hospital today. Like, I liked her. I liked her with Stella, and previous to that, I liked her with Portia, kind of like being a bitch to Portia being very upset about the transfer of Dante. I just thought, you know, that was very based in realism, like this sudden change in his status. And I thought, and frequently you do get bitchy with people in the hospital when you're just you've just kind of had it, and you're like,
yeah, you're ragged and
on edge and it does seem like information in the hospital, you're always the last one to know, and like suddenly they're like, oh yeah, you didn't hear, we're taking him for this test or whatever, you know, and like you're so in the dark all the time, and you're just waiting around for doctors or whoever specialists to come tell you something, and then it just feels like you're so out of control of things.
Yeah.
And so I liked seeing her do that, and then I thought Stella was, you know, actually pretty masterful in bringing her around. Yeah.
I thought so,
too. I was
too,
like, I think she really could work in this role in a hospital for real.
I know.
So for real.
I thought that was good, too, that interaction with Stella, especially. Yeah.
And I liked that they talked about palliative care, because I myself had just learned the distinction between palliative care and hospice care.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I didn't know that, because I'd heard palliative, and I, too, had, you know, in the past had freaked out, like, what? You know what? Because I thought that was identical, you know.
Well, I did think it was just to make somebody comfortable as they were dying, but I guess that is sort of the definition of hospice, too, isn't it? So.
Yeah, well, I guess the clarification is that somebody can receive palliative care and not necessarily be dying.
I hadn't thought of it that way before, but
yeah. But anyway, I just thought those were all kind of realistic things happening in realistic emotions that we were seeing and seeing them. And
And she looked a little more natural.
She's so tiny. Makeup, I always forget how tiny she is until you see her with somebody else. And like, God, she's a tiny little person. A little more natural, like literally physically, like makeup and stuff.
Or seemed like there was less lipstick or whatever. I thought she looked better.
And she was in the hospital, so it'd be believable that she's not going to be all made up.
So that was good. Okay, so we got through most of the people on my list. Let's see, we haven't seen Spinelli lately, and we haven't had the reunion yet between him and Jason.
Oh, we haven't. Okay. Interesting.
And I think he and Maxie, they seem like they sort of initially, at least, were pretty sure. I think that Jason was needed help. You know, like they're sort of on Team Jason, I think.
Okay, good. I'm glad somebody's on Team Jason.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they decide to go ahead and become romantically involved? Like they were kind of grappling with that, and then
right. Well, there was the line. They were out together. I think they were trying to find Jason, and then they ran out of gas in Maxie's car. That was a while ago, and they acted like they were all like they'd sorted everything out, you know, all the issues about him like deceiving her and, you know, pretending he needed to live there. And then she said something like, well, and now you can move out. And that was like where they ended. But it's like the Ava Nina thing. It's never come up again. You know? And okay, I don't think we've seen Maxie and Spinelli together much since then. He was working at Deception a little bit to help with security or whatever. But yeah, as far as we know, he and Maxie are still good, but I don't know if he's going to continue to live there or not. We'll see.
Okay, well, I'll try not to be too judgy about the new writers, but it does sound like things are being a little bit clunky here.
Very clunky, yeah. And I don't, there's probably a way around that, but I guess it's too late now. Then the only other scene that was somewhat interesting, I thought, was Gregory and Finn came into the hospital. Chase and Brooklyn were already there. Did you see that one?
And where he kind of blows up at them and says, you know, back off.
Which I guess.
Yeah, that was all right. That was good.
I wonder if I don't know what they're going to do with him. I wonder if they decided months ago what they were going to do.
That he's out and they're just going to. Yeah,
or could they
wring changed every sad minute out of his rest of his time on
there? I don't know. So that'll be
We'll have a wedding soon, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is too bad they kind of redeemed that character and now they're just killing him off.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. There was a scene, it must have been while you were gone, where Finn called a friend of his who sounded like he was in Afghanistan or someplace, like he was like working with military as a doctor or whatever. And he was running his dad's case by him sort of quickly to see if he had any new ideas.
Yeah.
But this other guy was sort of like, you know, I don't have time.
Oh, nice.
You didn't get his side of the conversation, but that's sort of how it sounded. Like he wasn't in a position really to like give it a serious look, you know? So
kind of a wasted scene.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know if Finn would try again. Yeah, it was a wasted scene.
They still might be laying the groundwork for a misdiagnosis or something.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of hoping, that maybe that means Finn is going to keep looking just for, you know, sort of just Hail Mary things. Yeah, so we'll see. But that was that. So I guess we did sort of cover it. I mean, you're right. It didn't seem like a ton happened. And I guess mostly what happened or what struck me was just the general feeling of people not being completely on Jason's side. That was sort of what was significant to me.
Yeah, that's a little bit shocking. The people that were Jason forever kind of
They
decided to shake things up a little bit.
We
had a little. Only other scene I feel like we didn't talk about is we had a little bit of Trina and Joss and also related to Jason. You know, some of this stuff about. I was like, wait a minute, why is Curtis? Why? What?
Huh? Yeah.
That was. But we had Trina being kind of bitchy to Joss.
Yeah. And Joss also,
what, you know?
Yeah.
But that's already kind of been resolved and they're back to being besties again, which I prefer, of course. But.
Right. That I was disappointed in Trina for that initial encounter where she was kind of mean.
I liked what they said about what she said about, and it applies especially to this soap where people come back to life all the time.
Yeah. But,
you know, like,
I was thinking
too. You know, you get Jason, but I don't get Spencer to come back to life. And
well, it hasn't been that long. You just got to be patient.
Just be patient. Yeah, he'll reappear.
I know. I was thinking that too.
But I remember like various, and this is actually, this is kind of pathetic to say it was about a dog, but I remember after I lost a particularly precious dog that like my attitude, and I lost the dog suddenly and my grieving attitude, like to decide whether I was going to speak to people or not. Mm-hmm. And so this sort of cut out all the people was that if you're not going to bring my dog back, if you have no, you know, then I just, I am not interested in like having dealings with you. Like,
It
just wasn't worth it to me to converse with people for a while. Bring my dog back, you know, but I was just not, you know, like in my, what's important to me in life is okay, the dog. And if you, unless you have the power to bring this dog back, I am not speaking with you. No, thank you.
I think that's reasonable, Gia.
I got over that, you know. I moved on. But you know, the bitterness and the anger and everything when somebody's taken from you suddenly. Sometimes logic is, you know, like flees from your brain.
And you're definitely. Yeah.
You're just a big, open, angry sore.
And nobody can really say the right thing. So it's like a minefield that you've created around you know, where nobody's going to win no matter what they try to do to help you.
Right. Unless they produce that lost person or dog, you know, in which case you would like be friends for life.
That's true also.
And it can happen on a soap opera. They do come back all the time. I mean, how all many times did Jason come back from the dead? Like three or something.
Yeah, and Jake, Elizabeth thought Jake was dead, right? And then he appears suddenly. So she, now Jason too, again.
Yeah, you would become conditioned to.
Yeah, she's probably like still like waiting for Franco to reappear. I'm surprised she hooked up with Finn.
I was so bummed that they made it so that Franco really couldn't, you know, I mean, that was. Yeah, and who else? Nicholas come back from the dead? I mean, it's a long history of reincarnation.
Yes it is.
Not even reincarnation. They come back as themselves.
Yeah, but, you know what? I forgot one sort of key piece, and I can't believe it. I think I forgot to put them on my list. Oh, no, I skipped past them. I'm sorry. Heather and Laura and Kevin.
Okay. What?
Heather, it turns out she had a hip replacement years ago, cobalt. It was made with cobalt.
I do remember, like, she was collapsing outside of somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. Like, that's right.
Okay.
Yep. And so they think this cobalt has poisoned her through her blood, and that's affected her in various ways. And it could include how she's been behaving, you know, like,
kind of like a Franco tumor thing. Like that's
exactly, exactly. It's like it runs in the family. You know, they're not, none of them are bad people. They just have stuff in them that needs to be taken out.
Is there any, did you Google this? Is there any basis in reality for that? Like,
I didn't Google it, Gia, but I believed it.
I'm disappointed in you.
So
well, that could be a game changer, huh? They could be gearing up to turn her to redeem that character. I kind of like her as a crazy murderer.
I know you do. Yeah, it was she had some sweet scenes with Laura, and maybe they were a little too sweet because Laura was really starting to bend over backwards trying to give Heather the benefit of the doubt now that she'd heard this diagnosis, you know. And
so what's going to be the deal with Cyrus? Like, why is he, you know, like,
we haven't seen him in a while. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that's interesting. No, I had no clue about that. Okay.
Yeah. So, Heather was supposed to undergo the surgery to have her hip thing replaced. And she's already, I think, being treated for the poisonings. And she seems like she's much more reasonable. And she's asking Laura, like, was I always this crazy? And Laura's like, no, you weren't, you know. And but they had just some like sort of real moments, you know.
There are a couple of pros. So I'm sorry to have missed that. But
such pros. Yeah, well, you could watch those again. That was in the past week. So it might have been just Friday or something. I can't remember. Maybe just before you started watching.
All right. Check that out. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. So that's interesting. But yeah, it's going to be a little bit like, good man, because you know Heather's such a pro. Like, what if she's doing, like, pulling an Esme where she's acting?
Like, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know? And then you could always be wondering if she was, like, a ticking package underneath it all, you know?
Well, that could be fun, too. So
yeah.
I'm on board. Yeah. Anything they want to do with Heather, I like it.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, thanks for catching me all the way up here, I think.
Sure, Gia. And I'm sorry to everybody for not finding a way to fill in the time while Gia was gone. We did have lovely Nurse Amy for one episode, and I'm kind of hoping we could get her back sometime now that you're back.
Yeah, Gia. That would be fun. A real nurse. Okay.
Yeah, because I think you would have some good questions for her. Maybe you could ask her about this cobalt poisoning.
Yep, I would like to know about that.
She did help explain to me how to perform an emergency tracheotomy. And
all right, with a pen?
With a pen. She said you could, even if you're strong enough, you could use a paper clip to create the hole.
Right, but what do you
put into... And then insert the pen.
Either a pen or
some sort of a tube. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's seen that MASH episode 8 million times, so we can all do it.
We can all do it, yeah. We're just waiting for the opportunity. Yeah.
Right. Hold still. A nurse, yeah, I feel like with a nurse, we could also get into ER kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. So we'll see. But she was very kind to join me for an episode.
Phil, and I can't believe you couldn't just go on and talk by yourself for an hour, just drone on and on.
Well, I wonder what I would have fallen back on to talk about.
It also would have been funny if you just done two different voices, you know, and sort of done it back and forth. It could have been a really cutting edge experimental stuff. But no, you're lazy. You were too lazy.
I was scared. I think it's clear that you're the draw. I'm like the Ed McMahon to your Johnny Carson, you know, and I just don't think anybody
first
wants.
Of all, you're making us sound Ed wicked McMahon. Old. With
well,
and it's kind of you to say, but I don't think that's true at all.
Oh, I think so, Gia. Yeah,
but anyway, okay. Well, it's good to be back, and and hopefully we'll do some more laughing next time. I'll stay on top of these plot lines
Okay. So we'll be back on Monday.
Yeah, okay. And thank you, lovely people. I'm not bored. I just need to catch up on sleep more.
Yeah, you've had a rough stretch.
Yeah, thank God for Benadryl, or I wouldn't have had any sleep at all. But I will stay on top of the general hospital now, and we'll move forward with scintillating conversation. And
yeah, and a couple of multisyllabic words.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good, Gia.
All right. Well, you have a lovely evening. We'll talk to you in a few days.
You too, Gia. Welcome back. And thank you, everybody, for hanging in there with us.
Yeah. Thanks for your patience.
All righty. Good night. Okay.
See you next time.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.